Certainly good to be with you this morning. Have another opportunity to stand before you and study God's Word. I'll have the verses and a few thoughts on the overhead this morning. I want to tell you that it is a blessing for us to be able to be here, and it's a blessing that I think sometimes we take for granted and overlook. We miss you when we're gone, and we hope that whenever you travel, you miss us as well. And it's good that we're a family, and we desire to come together and to study God's Word and spend time in fellowship. As we study this morning, the questions we may be posing will certainly be for each of us as individuals. There are some things about this lesson that I don't necessarily like, but it's only because as we open the book and we look into that perfect law of liberty, it shows us our faults. It shows us our shortcomings, and it tells us there's some things we need to do different, need to do better. But what is wonderful about the Word of God, we can find examples and teachings that will lead us to the right way of walking, of conducting our lives, and it will tell us how to go about doing things. But we'll pose some pretty tough questions this morning. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Certainly a verse that you've all heard, you've read, we've had lessons on it many times from different people in times past. And it's worth studying every time we open the book and read about it. Because it signals out to us one of the primary focuses that should be in our mind as a Christian is that the kingdom of God and His righteousness, God, Jesus, all those things, they should be priority in our mind. They should be number one. God will not play, for lack of a better phrase, God will not play second fiddle to anybody. He must be number one. And it's up to us to make the choice to put Him first in our life. So the question we ask this morning is, are you seeking the kingdom of God? Are you seeking it first? Is it a priority in your life? Is it a priority in my life? Jesus gave this statement right after He had been talking about a few things that had to deal with material wealth and earthly type riches and things like that. People worrying about whether they're going to eat, worrying about whether they're going to be clothed or have a house. And He said in Matthew 6 and 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." He said, if you'll do what's right and seek the kingdom first, seek my Father, seek me, if you'll do that first, everything else will fall into place. And what you'll find out as you grow older, as many of you already have, if the kingdom is first, many decisions get a lot easier. Because they're made for you. You don't have to try to work it out too much. You don't have to think on it. Because the decision's already been made by you seeking the kingdom first. Put the kingdom of God first in your life. He's going to provide for your needs. Now, I've had a lot of discussion in months past about how He does that and how it works. And to be honest with you, I don't think He's told us everything about how it all works. But we do need to have the faith that He will provide and see fit that we have food and we have clothing. Rarely have I gone hungry, obviously. Rarely have I ever gone to my closet and said, there's not a stitch of clothes in there. Normally, what do? We go, what do I wear today? You know, that's our problem. We're taken care of, brethren. And we're blessed very greatly. And let's be thankful for that. And understand and have the faith that He's going to do that. I want to look at an example this morning. We're going to look at several different examples of people. And we're going to try to figure out whether they were seeking the kingdom of God first. Some of these are going to be positive examples, and some of them are going to be negative. And let's see from these examples, their situations, their choices, their decisions, where we fit in line with them. Now, the story of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. The scripture says in verse 1, "But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira his wife sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. If you'll read on further down in that chapter, you'll find out that his wife comes in and they ask her, did you sell this land and this was this the price and everything? And she says yes, she gives up the ghost as well. She loses her life over this as well. You know, I don't know how much they sold the land for. I don't know what percentage they kept back and what percentage they kept. And I don't think that's the important part of the story this morning. But what is important is evidently they had portrayed it to be something that it wasn't. Peter says, why have you allowed Satan to fill your heart? You've kept back part of this. He says in verse 4, while it was in your power, you had the power over it. You could do whatever you wanted to with it. It was under your control. But he said in the last of verse 4, he said, you haven't lied to men. He said, you've lied to God. Over what? Over material wealth? Did he keep back 90%, 10%? What difference does it make? The point is that the wealth became more important to him than the kingdom of God. He started out with a great idea. I'm going to sell this and give it to the church. And along the way, things change. And isn't that the way we are in our lives sometimes? I'm going to give my life to God, and He's going to get all my focus and my attention, and I'm going to do all this, and then a few weeks later, I'll do that after I get this done. Because I've become busy with this, and now God's going to have to take a seat over here and wait. And the kingdom's going to have to take a seat over here and wait. And I've got to take care of my material wealth and my riches and my earthly things because they're important to me. Are they more important than the kingdom of God? Because if they are, you need a change. If the earthly things are more important to you than the kingdom of God, then we have a problem, brethren. And it needs to change today because it's going to cost you in the end. It may cost you your soul for eternity. Was the kingdom of God first for them or financial security? That land may have been their retirement package. That may have been what the inheritance they were going to give to their children. We don't know. But you know, financial security is very important in our society today, evidently. Which doesn't make sense. Because how secure is your wealth? How secure are your finances? They're not that secure if you really want to know the truth. And the most important thing about it is in how it stacks up with eternity, salvation, forgiveness of sin, and where your soul spends eternity, it doesn't matter. They have no value to you. You can't take it with you. It's like the song said, I've never seen a hearse with a luggage rack on it. We don't take it with us. And that's because when this life is over, its use to us is over. We don't need it anymore. It's not going to be of any benefit. But you know, Ananias and Sapphira couldn't let go. And it's one of those things where we say a lot of times they didn't have their riches and wealth. Their wealth and riches had them. Don't let your wealth and riches own you. Don't do it. Does the kingdom mean more to you than material wealth? Don't jump up and answer that too soon, folks. We need to step back and look and think. We need to really think about this. Is the kingdom more important to me than financial position, wealth, security, whatever these myths are that man has given us in society today about the importance of the dollar, the money, the finances, the possessions, all these things? We need to go look in the mirror and we need to talk to that guy, that lady, whatever, and say, is the kingdom first? Or are my wealth and riches first? Do you consider the kingdom first with your finances? You see, a lot of people will say, well, every major decision needs to be made in consideration of God and His kingdom. No. Every decision needs to be made in consideration of God and His kingdom. Not just the quote-unquote major ones. Every decision. And then if our focus is laser-like focus on the kingdom, then everything else will fall into place. Do you consider the kingdom first with your finances? Had a discussion with a guy one time, and we were talking about that. And we got to talking about how different people do different things with their finances, and specifically in regard to the collection that's taken up on Sunday. He said, I wonder how many people budget and know what they're going to be giving on the first day of the week versus how many people walk in and when it comes time they dig through their purse and grab the first 10, 20, or whatever loose bill it is and then throw it in. You see, that's not a thought process about your finances. I'm not asking you to give more money this morning. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But put things in perspective and consider it. Think about it. We spend so much time looking at investments, the price of stock, the price of CDs, the interest rate on CDs, the price of land, houses, all these other things. And when it comes to giving to the Lord's kingdom so that the work can continue. Here, let me see what I got in here. Here, there's a five. We can't afford to expect God to accept the scraps. He needs to be first. Guy asked me one time. He said, do you budget for what you give on the first day of the week? He said, do you budget pre-tax or after-tax? I said, I'm not sure. He said, think about it. I got to thinking about it. And I thought, well, maybe if I only give after what Uncle Sam gets, then Uncle Sam's first and not the Lord. Now, I'm not saying you have to think. I'm just throwing out some things to make us think about it. Just to give it a thought process. And the real important thing about finances and about giving, when you become a good giver, you break the claws that your finances have on you. It doesn't own you anymore because you've freely given, and it gives you joy. What about those that walked away from Christ? You know, there were a lot of people during his ministry that just up and left, had enough. In Luke chapter 9, verse 57 through 62, and it came to pass that as they went the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. You want to know what the problem was here with these people? It was an inconvenience. It just wasn't convenient for them to walk with the Lord. It wasn't convenient for the kingdom to come first in their life. They had things to do, just like you and I. We got things to do, don't we? We got to go take vacation. We got to go to work. And yes, we do. I understand that. All these things have their place. But we cannot afford to think of the kingdom as an inconvenience. And we also cannot afford to wait for a convenient moment to fit the kingdom in our lives. The kingdom needs to be first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then find a convenient spot for everything else that self wants to do. Sure would love to go fishing. He shook his head. He wants to go with me. You know, Sunday morning, fish always bite best. Sunday morning's when the best tee times are on the golf course. Sunday morning's when I can get more work done at the office because nobody's there. I got a lot of stuff going on every time the church meets. I got a lot of stuff going on when there's a gospel meeting coming up and they need to get some work done to go knock some doors and go talk to some people. I don't have time to do all these things and come up with names because it's not convenient. Somebody told Paul in the book of Acts, go away and at a convenient season I'll call for you. How sad a reply that is. But I want to tell you, people tell that to the Lord today. Lord, when it's convenient, I'll call on you. Let me rephrase that for you. While things are going good, I don't need you. But when things get going bad, wait a minute, Lord, remember me? We cannot afford to try to find a convenient time to fit the Lord in. If He's first, everything else falls into place. And these other things, we'll find a convenient time for them. We get our kids tied up so many things, and we run and we go and we do all that, and we fail to sit down with family and do some work in the Bible, to talk about the Scripture, to go visit as a family, do those things. We need to make sure the kingdom is first. I want to look at the scattered Christians here in Acts chapter 11. Now, we've had a couple of negative examples, but we're going to move to the positive now. Acts chapter 11, 19 through 21 says, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord." Now what had happened here back in the earlier part of the book of Acts, along about Acts chapter 7, Stephen had been murdered. And martyred, as we might say, giving his life for the cause of Christ. And these people saw this, and they were scattered into the different places of the earth. Now, if you could think about on your map there in Jerusalem and Judea in that area, there were people that scattered, and they went up to the north and back to the west a little bit in some of those areas there. They went down into the areas of Cyprus, up into Phoenicia. Antioch was straight up. They scattered. And you know what they did when they scattered? They preached the kingdom of the Lord. Wherever they went, they took the kingdom with them. And they told other people about it. And they talked about the goodness of Jesus Christ. And they taught about Jesus. And look at what it says in verse 21. A great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Why preach Christ after witnessing Stephen's murder? They had just witnessed Stephen be murdered for preaching the cause of Christ in the name of Christ in a very brutal fashion. Now, to a lot of people, that might say, I've had enough of this. I'm all for the kingdom and everything, but when they start throwing those rocks, I'm out of here, man. I don't want any part of that. Because if this is what's going to happen to a Christian, if this is what's going to happen to somebody who preaches the name of Jesus, y'all can have it. And I'm sure there's some that did, but not all of them. Because some of them went to wherever they scattered to, and they preached the name of Jesus. The kingdom was more important to them than their own life. Dad, what's going to happen if we go out and we start talking about Jesus and there's a mob come upon us? And they want to stone us to death. Dad's reply was, we're going to preach. Whatever happens, happens. Is that our attitude? I'm for the kingdom, but man, they started joking about being a Bible thumper the other day around the water cooler. Trust me, if the only thing they call you in your life is a Bible thumper, everything's just fine. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. We got people in the New Testament that got killed for preaching the name of Jesus. And we're worried about people telling a little joke about us. Their relationship with God was more important than a relationship with man. This is something that can be very dangerous when it creeps into our lives. We have friendships and acquaintances outside the body of Christ. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing whatsoever. But they can't come first. We can't allow the desire to have that relationship become more important than the relationship with God. The relationship with God and seeking the kingdom must be first. And if that means severing a tie with somebody out there, then so be it. Sever the tie. But don't lose your soul over a desire to please man. Please God. Please the Lord Jesus Christ. And seek the kingdom first. And everything will be taken care of, not only in this life, but in the eternal life. And that's what's most important to you and I. I want to look at the Apostle Paul for just a few moments. I think about him and his travels and things like that. And one thing that kind of sticks out initially with me was how important the kingdom was to him in relation to two or three different points. The worldly status that Paul had was something that you and I probably are not going to experience in our life. Paul was on the fast track to success in the Jewish kingdom. In Philippians chapter 3 and verses 4 through 8, he talks about some of the things that he had enjoyed, and he talks about them in kind of a negative light. It wasn't negative that he had them, but it was negative in the sense that he said, they don't mean anything to me. But I want you to look at what he says here. He says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted for loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Now I want you to think about some of these things here in relationship to the Jewish community at that time and where he was at. He was climbing the ladder at a fast rate. He was highly regarded in the Jewish community. He says, now if you believe anybody believes they have confidence in the flesh, or that there's anything that the flesh can bring as far as importance and having value and stature and things like that, he says, here I am. If anybody could, it was me. Circumcised on the eighth day, strict accordance with the Levitical law. That was the exact day that should have been done. Of the stock of Israel, he says, I can trace my lineage all the way back to Jacob. Of the tribe of Benjamin. Benjamin was a small tribe that when the kingdom divided, Judah went one way, the other tribes went the other, and Judah stayed closer to the Lord. Benjamin stayed with Judah. So Benjamin had a special place there as far as Jewish history goes. And Hebrew of the Hebrews, doing a little studying on that, what I found out was that he's basically saying that's a statement that the Hebrews would give when they would point out the fact that there's no proselyte blood in my lineage. And he's not talking negatively about maybe a proselyte. He's just saying that if anybody has anything to brag about, I do. And here's why. I have straight Hebrew or Jewish blood all the way back. As touching the law, a Pharisee. The Pharisees were a sect that upheld the law much higher than most others. They had plenty of problems, we know that, but they were in strict adherence to a lot of things about the law. He says, concerning zeal, if you want to talk about zeal, I persecuted the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. As far as righteousness goes in regarding to the law, the old law, whatever righteousness could be attained, he said, I am blameless in that. I would have attained the greatest. Now, he's not saying he's sinless, but he's saying, as far as it goes, I had as much as anybody there. And all of these things, he says, they're rubbish to me. They have no value to me. He cared more about the kingdom of God than his own worldly status, do we? What if it means giving up a job where we're really getting up close to the top? You know, what if it means some of those things? If that's what it takes to save your soul, then do so, brethren. Because worldly status is not that important. Paul also thought the kingdom was more important than his own physical safety. He says in 2 Corinthians 11 in verses 24 through 27, of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. He said, these are the things that I have gone through while I have been out there preaching the name of Christ and working in the kingdom. And I sit back and I think about these things. He says, 5 times I received 39 stripes by the Jews. I thought about that for a minute. 5 times. You ever been through something painful and you think, well, okay, that's over. I don't have to do that again. I wonder if that's what he thought the first or the second time he received those 39 stripes. I wonder what he thought the third and the fourth and the fifth time the sentence came to Paul, 39 stripes. I wonder about when he was undergoing that punishment the fourth and fifth time. I wonder if he remembered, yeah, this is what the 15th stripe felt like the first four times. This is what the 30th stripe felt like the first four times. We think we go through a lot of stuff. We have no clue. The physical things that he went through, he said, thrice I was beaten with rods. I was stoned. I've suffered shipwreck. Been in the day and night, been in the deep, a night and a day. In all these different places, I've been in danger. And his point of all this, it's worth it because the kingdom is worth it. The kingdom is priority. And the kingdom of God is worth going up through all of these things here. The kingdom was so important that he would die if need be. Romans 12, I don't have the verse on the PowerPoint, but Romans 12, verse 1, talks about us being a living sacrifice for God. A living sacrifice. I wonder, are we laying down our life for the kingdom? Do we lay down our life for him? You know, Jesus said the first will be last and the last will be first. And that's talking about what priority your life has in relationship to your service in the kingdom. If you're going to be first in your life, you're going to be trouble. But if you'll be last and not worry about your status and work for him first, then things are going to be okay. Do we lay down our life? Do we give up the things that entertain us? Do we give up the things that we desire and do? You know, I use the example of golf because it hits me at home. I like to play golf from time to time. And there's, you know, they have a lot of little golf tournaments around the different areas that you can go play and everything. You know when they play those? You know when the championship round is? Sunday. Sunday. Well, I think I could really do good and I would enjoy that. And maybe I could strike up a friendship or something like that. Maybe God will understand. It's amazing to me that we expect God to understand things that we don't expect our fellow man to understand. We almost demand that God, you sit over there and I'll get to you when I can, but I can't afford to let this guy down. I can't afford to let them down. But you I can let down because I know you'll be there. I know you're going to take the scraps of my life and I know whatever happens, you're just going to be there for me. So you just sit there and wait till I get to you. I know that's not what we would say to him, but is that what our life says to him? I'll get to you when I can. Look at what Paul said here in Acts 20 and verse 24. He's on his way back to Jerusalem and he understands this is probably not going to be a real good trip. He says in Acts 20 and 24, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. He says, my life is not so dear to myself that I would quit doing this, that I would stop working in the kingdom. He says in Acts 21 and 13, he had just come and come onto the coast there, and he had gone up into a certain town, and there was a prophet there who had taken Paul's girdle and bound him his hands and everything, and he said, the owner of this girdle, the man who owns this, is going to go to Jerusalem and be bound. He was prophesying about what was going to happen to Paul. And what happened here, the people there at the house, they were begging and pleading, say, Paul, don't go. You're going to be put in prison. You may be killed. And look at what he says. He says, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. He said, I don't care if they throw me in jail. I don't care if they bind me. They can kill me for all I care. I'm ready to die for the name of Jesus. Why do some not seek the kingdom first? Why is it that we just don't seek it first the way we should all the time? There may be a myriad of answers on that, but I can tell you one I know for sure. They don't see the value. They cannot see the true value of serving the Lord and working in His kingdom. We've become so tied to having a value of something we hold in our hands or something like that. We must think spiritually and we must think eternally. The value of serving the Lord and having a home with Him for eternity, what price could you put on that? What number would it be? We're big on numbers, you know. What value would you put on spending an eternity gathered around the throne of the Lamb? What value does that have? Some people don't understand the value, but Jesus tells us about the value. Matthew 13, verse 45 through 46, it says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." He found that one pearl he'd been looking for. And he sold everything else. Got rid of everything that was going to keep him from obtaining that which was so precious to him. And that's part of why Jesus tells this parable. He found something so valuable, nothing else had any value to him anymore. It lost its appeal. It lost he lost the desire he had for those things because of that one pearl he found of great price. And Jesus said, "This is what the kingdom of heaven is like. Would you sell out for God?" I'm not necessarily saying that you have to go sell your home and cars and walk on foot the rest of your life or anything like that, but what if that is what it demanded? What if that's what it cost us? Would you be willing to do that? Would you get rid of all the hindrances that keep you from seeing the value in the kingdom of God? Value is a term people misunderstand sometimes. We talk about things like worth and what's the value of it. Never fails if in my business, if I sell a list of cotton to a guy and talking to somebody and I say, "Well, I got so much for that." Never fails somebody says, "Oh, well, you took way too little for that. That cotton's worth a lot more than that." You want to know what something's worth? It's worth what somebody will pay for it. That's the value of something. That's what worth is. It's worth what somebody will pay for it. And do you know what the kingdom of God is worth? It's worth the life of the Son of God. It's worth the blood of the Son of God. That's what it's worth. Because that's the purchase price that was paid to obtain it and make it available to you and I. Now, what's it worth to you and I? What will you and I pay for it? Oh, don't get the checkbook out because there's no dollar amount that you can pay for it. What about your service? What about your life? What about your focus? What about your family? What's priority in your life? Are you seeking the kingdom first? Because that's what it takes to obtain a kingdom that is so valuable. Would you let it all go? Would you let it all go, or does it have a hold of you? Does this earth and this world have a hold of you? Are you seeking the kingdom first this morning? I can't answer for you, and you can't answer for me, but I'll tell you what, I sure get embarrassed sometimes when I look in the mirror and ask that guy. Knowing I have things that need to be done, and knowing there are things that the church needs and people need and everything like that, and I put it off. I procrastinate, and I'll get to it later, and all those things. Knowing I need to study. Knowing I need to pick up that Bible and read because in it are contained the words of life. I'll get to that later. That's not seeking the kingdom first, brethren. Does the kingdom of God come first in your life? Does it come before financial security? Or are we going to invest in the IRA before we give to the Lord? Understand one thing too, when it comes down to finances and the collection, it doesn't just stop here on Sunday, brethren. There's opportunities all over the place. And I believe that in America, the blessings that we have, our finances are one of the greatest tools that we have. Is one of the greatest tools that we have. We are blessed beyond measure. Are we using those things for the cause of Christ? Is the kingdom going to come before selfish desire? Or am I going to do what I want, when I want, how I want, and then I'll find time to do something over there? Is the kingdom going to come before social status? We love the Lord and we want to serve Him, but just don't tell the boss. Don't tell the guys in the club. Don't let them know I'm a Christian. But boy, Sunday comes and I'm right down the aisle, you know. I'm here on Sunday, but don't tell any of my friends. My family don't know that I obeyed the gospel. Shh. If the kingdom doesn't come before social status and selfish desire, there's a problem. Just, and it's in my life as well. I have a problem if that's the case too. I'm going to point the finger at me. Y'all can point the finger at y'all and we'll all fix our own problems this morning. Does it come before friends and family? I fought with this years and years growing up and things like that. People in our family couldn't understand why mother drug me to church. God bless her for it. And I know sometimes that people we know can't understand why we drag our kids to church. Gospel meeting, they're wore out at the end of the meeting. I know it. We've been to Oklahoma City, got back last night. We're tired, you know, and all that. I know everybody gets tired of the different things that we do sometimes, but I want to tell you something. It's got great value, and don't ever regret it. And if those people out there, family and friends, don't see it, rain on them. Run off and leave them. I mean, we ain't got time for that. Because the kingdom's got to be first. Do everything you can to bring them on board. But there are times you do have to cut the ties. Don't let friends and family come before seeking the kingdom of God first. What about your own life? Are you sacrificing? Are you laying down your life for the kingdom of God? If we're not, we're not doing it right. Does the kingdom of God hold the top spot on your list of priorities? As you sit down and make your priority list, does God, Jesus, the kingdom, the church, the saints, all those things, does that come first? Because if it doesn't, you need to rework your list. We need to move things around on the list because it ain't right. The kingdom needs to be first. Not just Sunday, not just Wednesday night. The kingdom needs to be first tomorrow morning when we wake up and when we go to work and we do the things that need be. The kingdom needs to be first every day. If the kingdom's first, everything else in life will fall into place and go where it needs to. But only if you make it a priority in your life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness. I leave you with that thought this morning. I hope these things inspire all of us to reevaluate and to make sure the priority list is right and that He is first. We cannot afford to expect God to take the scraps in our life because He's not going to do it. He didn't send His Son to die to take second place. He needs to be first in your heart and in my heart. I leave the lesson with you this morning. If there are those here who have not named the name of Christ in baptism and started that walk, we offer that to you this morning. Start that walk with God. Start that walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Experience salvation and forgiveness. And go on your way rejoicing. Nothing would make anybody any happier than knowing that another soul's been added to the kingdom. If you're here this morning and you don't feel like you have been walking that way and you desire the prayers of the church, we'd love to pray with you and pray for you. That's what we're here for. If we can help one of either class, we ask you to come and take a seat on the front pew while we stand and sing the next song.